You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome in MLB.com Extras, the Milwaukee Brewers edition. I'm Dave Raymond, as always, joined by Adam McAlvey, embedded with the Milwaukee Brewers and following this team through what has been a very difficult start to the season. Now, Adam, you've seen a number of reasons why that may be, but one of them has been offensively the team struggled early. Brian Braun's looked a lot better lately. You've written a bit about it. What is it? What's happened for Braun that has gotten him back on track?
Yeah, Dave, he's been pretty encouraged for a while now, even before the numbers started to reflect it, by a couple of things. Number one, his hard hit ball rate has been the highest of his career from the start of the season, even when his batting average was down, 220, 230. And his batting average on balls in play was really low, the lowest of his career. So those two things don't go together. He's hitting balls really hard. His BABIP is really low. He said it was impossible for that to continue. So I think that's one of the reasons he was able to stay pretty positive through it. And now, lo and behold, beginning on that last homestand, the statistics have started to look a little bit better. He's on a good RBI run. He's hitting some home runs. He says all along he's felt healthy, that it hasn't been a matter of that thumb that gave him trouble last year. Basically, his theory is that it was just bad luck. Now, bad luck for the team that it happened in a time where they really could have used their best hitter to come through and win a couple of games for him. They were obviously, as you referenced, a lot more problems than just this one guy. But, his struggles came at or bad luck, whatever you want to call it, came at a particularly bad time for the team.
You think the, the reference to some of those statistical numbers, right, the Babbitt, the hard hit ball rate, all these types of things now. Everybody has access to that information anymore, and it's so much more common and a part of the conversation. But in the case of Braun in particular, do you think that's the type of thing that, that he goes and looks up? Because these guys know. I mean, they remember it bad to a bad. He knows he's hit the ball hard, and he's just not getting any luck. Does he go and look at that information, maybe just to kind of quiet his own demons in there about what's going on? Or is that the kind of thing that maybe a front office points out?
In this case, it was pointed out to him by someone close to him who had read an article of someone else who had looked up the numbers, and he brought it to my attention. So it's a combination. But, I'll tell you, it was one thing that gave him, it made him feel good. And I think that all these different players, you can look at a guy who's in a tough patch, and they can go and, the beauty of statistics is, you can read them as you want. And you can find some statistics probably to give you a little bit of confidence. And confidence is a big part of this game. I mean, the former Brewers manager, Ron Renneke, would talk about confidence all the time, that you get to this level and everybody has a certain ability. And it's just a matter of squeezing as much of that ability out onto the field as you can. And a lot of that has to do with being in a good frame of mind. So I'll tell you the flip side. Scooter Gennett, their second baseman, who – as we speak, is on his way back down to the minor leagues. They optioned him out a bit amid a terrible streak. His numbers are really bad, and he looks up at the scoreboard, and it's a batting average in the 160, 150 range. But even he can find numbers that he likes. His strikeout rate has been really low, so that means he's been putting balls in play. Then, of course, with the batting average that low, his BABIP is going to be really low. So he can point to some things and say, well, it's just a stretch of bad luck. I need to keep swinging. And I think that all these guys up and down can turn to the statistics now for good and bad. And there's so many numbers that can be overloaded. You just got to decide what you want to focus on.
Yeah, I guess that's why I asked. Because I do think, especially when you're talking about somebody with Ryan Braun's track record, sometimes you might need to put together a little case to help him understand, dude, you're all right. Just keep doing what you do, because there's so much doubt and negativity that can creep into a guy's head. I just think it's a good positive way to use those numbers. Now, Scooter, that's a different example, right? Because here's a guy who just doesn't have the track record of Ryan Braun. Though his first 2 years have been very positive. And obviously, he's not going to get quite the leash either, as he's been sent out. What do they want him to what do they want him to do? How long do they think this is going to take for him to get straightened out again?
Well, it's just going to be a matter of going down to get some confidence. I mean, this is the classic option a guy out to take some of the pressure off. And Scooter Gennett said he'd fallen into some of the bad traps that can catch a hitter when he's struggling, which is basically you try to pull everything. And he says, you know, he used a great old Tony Plush phrase. He said he needs to tickle a couple balls over the shortstop, meaning the opposite way, and he'd be okay again and get out of some of those bad habits. But, you know, for him, you talk about track record, and it's true. He doesn't have a long track record in the major leagues. This is the first season where he's been the everyday guy. He's been basically kind of in a loose platoon with Ricky Weeks the previous 2 years. But he does have a track record in professional baseball. And Craig Counsell, their manager, talked about that. I mean, this guy, there's no doubt that this guy hits. Every level, he hits around 300. So there's that. It's not as if this guy has forgotten how to hit. He's just gotten into a bad funk, and he happens to play for a team where they can't afford that. And they're really trying hard to win every game. You know, this new manager Counsell talks very basic terms about how he's managing this team and constructing lineups and making bullpen decisions. It's how do we win a game today? They are not yet thinking about the long term and all those other things that maybe will come up down the line. Right now it's try to win games, try to get somewhat unburied from what happened to them in the start of the season. So, you know, Scooter Gennett is a young guy with options, and they have some other infielders that they can play that position. They opted, you know, let's go ahead and make a move and try to get his swing back and get his confidence back up.
Yeah, I still think that's a, with all due respect to all these guys who have track records in the minor leagues, it's the only way you really get this far. The guys who is different. It's just different at this level sometimes. Sometimes I think that's
well, and yeah, and you're right, and he knows that, you know, and he talked, and when we had a chance to sort of talk to him about this is the first time he's gone through something like this at the big league level, because Scooter Gennett came up and he hit kind of from the beginning with this Brewers team. So this is it is definitely a new experience, and you have to kind of fight those urges to try to do more. He said something like this at High A, but look, even, you know, he's reasonable enough to know that that's a completely different animal than doing it in the major leagues. So he, you know, there was something to be said for, you know, the pressure being on a little bit. And I think the idea here is to try to ease that and get him back. I mean, he's still a part of what they want to do for the future. This is a left-handed bat that they like. And like you've said, it's a 300 hitter. So he can play, he can hit. He's going to try to go down there and break some of these habits.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Counsell a little bit ago, and you know, they, by and large, played pretty well under him, at least in terms of the wins and losses. And I'll be darned if he didn't pull out the old pitcher batting eighth thing the other day with Kyle Loesch. I mean, everybody's doing it, right? Everyone wants to tinker with it now and then, but it worked out pretty well. I was just interested in how long it had been since Milwaukee had done that and what he's thinking. I mean, with Loesch in particular, is he the only one maybe, or is this something he might tinker with some other guys?
Well, they did it. They did it for that whole Mets series. He would not commit to doing it for, you know, the next month. My understanding of batting the pitcher eighth is you want to do it over a large sample, because the idea is you generate kind of that second leadoff hitter with a guy down at the bottom for the guys at the top. And in the Brewers' case, that's Carlos Gomez hitting leadoff now again, who's a, you know, he can be a run producer. They juggle whether to bat him first or they batted him cleanup some in that last homestand. So as a run-producing type guy, it's nice to have as many runners on base as you can for the second, third, fourth time through the lineup. And that's kind of what they're thinking here. And as far as when they had done it had been since 2010. It was Ned Yost, the last manager, who did it with Randy Wolf as the pitcher. And, you know, it's always a matter of personnel. You have to have the right leadoff guy and really two-hole hitter, which in the Brewers' case, when Jonathan Lucroy is healthy, with Gomez and Lucroy, they'll have run-producing types in those spots. And then you have to have the right sort of nine-hole hitter where it makes sense. And for the Brewers, that the last couple of days, it was Luis Sardinas, a short switch-hitting shortstop who they got in the Giovanni Gallardo trade, who's up with the Brewers for the first time and getting an opportunity to play. Young guy, you know, maybe power will come eventually, but he's not a power hitter right now. He's more of a get on base kind of guy. And he did get on base in that series. So the early returns were good, but you know, really on a day-to-day basis, that is sort of flipping the, you know, rolling the dice a little bit, flipping a coin, because you just don't know which day that eighth spot's going to come up in a position where, oh, I wish we had a real hitter here. Or the other days where it, you know, where it works out for you. But over the long term, again, this is at least my understanding, over the long term, this is supposed to basically produce more runs. And again, that's what Craig Counsell is going for right now. How do we win today?
Yeah. Well, I always think it's interesting. I always kind of like it. And the shocker to me as we wrap this up was that it had been so long, because with Gallardo, I mean, you could have batted him sixth. You know, Walter Olson used to do that with Don Drysdale. He batted him seventh back in the day. But we're going to get off on too long a tangent on that one, I'm afraid. Great stuff, man. I always appreciate it, Adam. Interesting team to keep an eye on as they continue to shuffle the deck a little bit and try and figure things out. But we'll see. We'll see what next week brings. Thanks for the time.
All right, Dave.
All right, Adam McKelvey, MLB.com Extras, the Milwaukee Brewers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.